Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout. Your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying,
always saying what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I think it won't be a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
Montrose and I on Contending for Truth Radio, the Parental Sovereignty Radio Show that we do each week. We're going to have a great show tonight. Just got done watching Rodney Cooley Conover on One America News on the Rick Amato Show. Rick Amato, a great friend of good candidates, always has been on his radio show and now on the One America News Network. And let me tell you, Rodney Conover hit the ball out of the ballpark. I was almost standing up in the living room cheering. And I got to get a hold of Rodney after the show and tell him I need his autograph. He's famous now. Dan just did an absolute smash-up job. Some great answers on Common Core, some great rebuttals to the liberal that was on there, giving some nonsense. The guy tried to accuse Republicans of being not trusting of individuals, I should say. And Rodney made him give an example and about big government. And the guy says, well, what about when Rush Limbaugh said that if you should ban birth control. Actually, he says when the Republicans try and ban birth control, Rodney says, well, give me an example. He says, well, you know, like Rush Limbaugh. You know, Rodney wrote for Rush Limbaugh for 6-7 years. He knows Rush Limbaugh really well. He says, no, Rush never said that. The guy was flat out lying and got caught right there on the air. And Rodney just beat it. He hit it out of the ballpark. It was a great show. Just got done watching that and jumped over here real quick and logged in. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about Rodney tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Common Core tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about politics. We're going to talk a little bit about history. All kinds of things we've got to talk about tonight. It's been a good week, getting a whole lot of things done, actually. You know, there's some crazy things going on in Washington, D.C., but we're working real hard to try and send people to Washington, D.C. to get it straightened out. And that's what this is all about. So I'm going to pass it down to my good friend and co-host down there in Newport Richey, Florida, Dan Wilson. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Fantastic, man. I love how that liberal picked Russ as an example. I mean, it couldn't have been better for Rodney. That must have been hilarious. Wish I could have seen that show.
If you turn to One American News, the website, and watch it on media, it's going to be re-airing again. The Rick Amato Show will re-air at 9 o'clock Pacific time, 12 o'clock Eastern time. So you watch it. And I encourage you to, Dan. You'll be cheering because it was a great show. I'll pass it back to you.
Oh, well, Rodney is a great guy, and, you know, all of us are 100% behind him. He is one candidate that I hope goes all the way because he would make a great POTUS. You know, he's a conservative, and he stands up for what he believes in. And the other day I wrote out a piece on one of my posts, and I was talking about people with integrity. And I mentioned Truman as one of them, because when Truman fired MacArthur, that was nothing short of almost a nationwide riot. MacArthur back then was practically a living god to Americans, yet when he insulted the President of the United States, Truman stood up for him. And the only other president, then Lincoln, of course, but the only other contemporary president who did that was Gerald R. Ford. When he, right after Vietnam had ended and Watergate, and Nixon had resigned and Watergate was finishing up, what he did is he turned around and rather than pressing charges, he elected to pardon Nixon. And if you remember, well, back in those days, the nation had so many open wounds, and it needed to heal, and to let it carry on for 2 or 3 years in the courtrooms would have only made those wounds worse. And rather than thinking about his own political career, Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon. And it was one of the greatest political moves because it showed true integrity. It showed a man who was willing to stand up for what was right and not what was best for their political careers. So, and Rodney's one of those type of people. That's a very, very rare asset, and we need more people like him. People tend to fold when they're put in under pressure, or they want, or they're on the corporate ladder or whatever, and they do and say whatever it takes, even if it's in violations of their own beliefs. And that to me is, you know, there's no way I would ever back down to what I believed in. And yet people do it all the time. And I don't see that as an asset. But the general public does. And it's sad. You know, as a result, our best people are driven off. And, I mean, it happened in the last election. I mean, by far, Herman Cain was the best candidate running. And who did they elect? The worst candidate. You know, it's, we all knew by that time that Obama had no credibility. He had lied. He had misled this nation in so many different directions, yet he won the election. And we need to, as a people, stop listening to the propaganda and what, you know, all this nonsense, and start looking at the people and who they are. And this is why the grassroots movement is so very, very important. When you can see a person and follow them from the very beginnings of their career to right up to when they're running for president, then you know you have a good person running. Right now, we have nothing but a bunch of politicians running who would sell their soul to get to the presidency. And it doesn't matter who they hurt, who they take down. And, you know, we have to change our ways. We have to start looking at who these people are. I mean, right now in Congress, how many people do we have that are worthwhile? It's a travesty. I mean, we look around and none of them will stand up for what's right. They all just keep their mouths shut and let this nation be drawn and destroyed just because they don't want, they're too afraid to stand up and say what is right and take action. I mean, stand up and say, listen, you know, this is not right. And I don't care if somebody threatens me. I mean, or threatens my life, because you know something? I would rather die being honorable than living and being a coward. And, you know, if you don't have integrity, you don't have anything. And that's so very important. And, you know, so many people have forgotten that. And because integrity is what defines the person you are. Honor and integrity are the two things that show what kind of person you are. And so many people today just don't have either one. And it's because of the system, this progressive system that's been really trying to get people to do go with the masses, not stand for themselves. And, you know, I'm ashamed of where we are as a nation right now. This is a nation I love with all my heart. And I look back at World War II, World War I, and the honor these people had. You know, how the Marines said, we'll leave no one behind. And how many times, you know, people risked their lives for their fellow brothers. What our forefathers were willing to give up to create this nation. And now we have a president who is taking all that down and taking it apart. He doesn't believe in honor nor integrity. He believes in getting what he wants at any cost. That is, you know, that's just, oh, it bothers me so much. I mean, it gets me so angry because, you know something, it's not worth it to me, you know, to give up my honor just so I could be a dictator and destroy a great nation in the process. And that's what he's doing. And I have on my honor list, he's at the bottom of the pile. He is him, Holder, Hillary, they are all, Kerry. These people are slimes. They aren't, you know, they aren't people with honor. They're just doing what they're told to do, so they'll have a nice position and make a lot of money and live high on the hog while the rest of us starve. I mean, how can you, as a person, live like that? You know, I have to look at myself in the mirror every morning, and I have to be happy with whom I'm looking at. And I'm not willing to sacrifice that. And, you know, all of them have. And we need people more like Rodney who feel the same way. We had men and women of honor and integrity who are willing to stand up for what's right for this country, what's right for the nation. And Rodney is one of those rare breeds. And, you know, I'll do everything I can to also help him get in. And I'm still looking for some over here in Florida as well, you know, to take the place of my representative, who I'm very disappointed with also. So with that, I'm going to, is Jennifer on yet?
Yeah, Jennifer, just logged on with us, and we'll pass it right to her. You know, Rodney, you said two words that are important, honor and integrity. And, you know, that's why I support Rodney Lee Conover. You know, in ladies' Bible class on Friday, you know, we talked about David and Bathsheba. And if you don't know that story, King David is up on the roof, and he looks down, he sees Bathsheba, he decides he wants her, he goes and has his guys take her, he sleeps with her, he gets her pregnant. Now, the king's married, she's married, so under the law, this was a penalty of death if they got caught. And so what King David did after that was he turned around And he brought Uriah to him, and he said, "Hey, Uriah, buddy, you've been working hard out on the battlefield. Why don't you go home for the weekend and just relax for a little bit? You deserve it." And Uriah said, "No, no, no, I can't do that. We've got guys on the battlefield. We're at war right now. I can't go do that." And he sleeps at the king's doorstep. Well, King David wanted him to go home and sleep with his wife, so they would think that he was the one that got her pregnant, and he wouldn't do it. And he tells him again, "Go down there and sleep with your wife." He says, "No, I can't do that. I've got men. My brothers are out there on the battlefield right now. I can't go home and just relax and enjoy my time. When the war is over, we can do that." And so King David, frustrated, tells his people, "You take Uriah out to the battle line, and you put him right in front in the most dangerous part, and then you just pull everybody back and leave him there." And he did. They did. And what happened at that point was Uriah was killed in battle, and David caused that. And, you know, it's a horrific story. It's a very horrific story, but you got to remember, King David was called a man after God's own heart. Continually, over and over and over again. When you get to Christ, Christ is called the Son of David. David being a great, 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 great grandfather. A man after God's own heart. But the second half of the story is the important part. It's the honor and the integrity part. Nathan comes to David, and God says, go to David and explain this to him. And Nathan tells him basically God's message here, and it's this. "David, I want to tell you a story about a man who had a bunch of sheep. And his next-door neighbor had one sheep. And not only was it one sheep, it was a family sheep. The kids loved it. It even ate out of his own plate. It was a family pet. And the man that had a lot of sheep went and took the man's sheep that only had one. What would you do?" And King David got absolutely upset. And he basically said, "Off with his head." And then Nathan turned around, and David turned around and looked at Nathan, and all of a sudden David got it. Nathan said, that man is you. You see, you've got all these wives. You've got access to all the wives in the world that you want. Uriah, he had one man, one wife, and you took her. And then you murdered her. And David was cut to the heart at that point, and he apologized. He said, "I blew it." He was a murderer at that point. He was a liar at that point. He was an adulterer at that point. But King David realized what he did, made a turnaround, and went in a different direction. That's integrity. Integrity is not making mistakes. That's not what integrity is. And life is about making mistakes. Integrity is not about doing dumb things. Boy, I've done some of the dumbest things in the whole wide world. I'm the king of dumb things.
Both of them.
But integrity is the ability. Integrity is the ability to take your mistake, and you either jump over that hurdle, and you learn from it, and you get stronger, and hopefully your friends around you, when you make a mistake, are going to be there to help you jump over that hurdle and not just dismiss you. But you jump over that hurdle, you get stronger, and you make a better decision next time. And as you grow, that's integrity. That's honor. Honor is how you handle the bad times, not how you handle the good times. And I tell that story for a reason. That's why I like Rodney Lee Conover, because he's real. And we've got people in Washington, D.C., all on both sides, who make all kinds of mistakes. But what do? Do they learn from their mistakes? Do they turn around and go, "Okay, I shouldn't have done that"? No, they don't do that. They make excuses. They lie. They cheat. They steal to get by with it. They blackmail. That's not integrity, you see. And we need 435 men and women in Washington, D.C., on the House, on that side of the House, on both sides of the aisle, who have that kind of honor and integrity. And again, it's not about the size of the mistake. Obviously, to God, it was, I mean, it doesn't get any worse than murder, you know. It's how you handle that mistake. And we see, we got a big, huge problem right now in Washington, D.C., and it's a problem of character. It's not a problem of ideology. If it was just ideology arguing back and forth, the other side would lose every time. We know that. But what do they have to do? They have to lie, cheat, and steal to get it through. That's what they had to do with Obamacare. They had to hide it. Today in one of my groups, I was given kind of a discussion about what C-Scope was all about and talking about how they had to incorporate Common Core in by not telling anybody. Tell the teachers. Don't tell the parents what we're doing. Obamacare. They didn't want to even read the bill. They didn't want to read it, folks. Why didn't they want to read it? Because if they read it, they would have been more pushed to tell the truth. They could lie about it if they didn't read it. And we can look and we can see lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. Look at Benghazi. Nobody just stood up and said, okay, you know, we really blew it here. No, what did they do? Well, Hillary Clinton said, well, what difference does it make? King David would not have been a man after God's own heart if he had turned to Nathan and said, what difference does it make? When that happened.
Exactly.
He was a man after God's own heart, and he owned up to his mistake. We got a Washington, D.C. right now that is full of lies and deceit, blackmail. It's a crooked, crooked place. It's been that way for a long time. Governments tend to be like that. They tend to be like that. So I'm going to make this plea again, and I make this plea every week. I want you, the listener, to sit down and really look at your candidate. Is he wishy-washy? Is he going to say one thing one time and then turn around and look the other way and say something else? Is that what he's going to do? Or is she going to do? Or are they the kind of person that are going to stand up, have honor, have integrity, be honest? If they make a mistake, they admit they made a mistake, but they stand by their principles. They stand up for what they believe in, no matter what the cost. Sid Miller, a few weeks ago on Saturday Symposium with me and Dan, I give a little plug for Saturday Symposium on Saturdays, 11 o'clock Texas time, 12 o'clock Florida time, and 9 o'clock California time. We had Sid Miller running for agricultural commissioner here in the state of Texas. He says the difference is between politicians and statesmen. You see, a statesman stands up and he says what he believes no matter what the political outcome. And a politician says, whatever, the way the wind blows. That's how we end up with a Cork the Dork, Bob Corker in Tennessee. He was a good man at one time, but all you got to do is look at his financial records and see where he followed the money and followed the votes. We need Rodney Lee Conovers, because I'm going to tell you, that man, when he goes to Congress, and I'm going to tell you, folks, I can tell you right here and now, that man's going to Congress. We got a path to victory, and we're going to make sure that man gets to Congress. And when he gets there, he's going to stand on that House floor, and he's going to say it the way it is, and if they go to blackmail him, he's going to stand up and say, this person over here is blackmailing me. Because that's what we need. We need a bunch of those. There's my rant. With that, I will pass it to Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama. Jennifer, how you doing this evening?
Well, God bless America. I tell you, we need more of God in America than we've had in a long time. I'll tell you what, you know, when I was listening to a really good heartwarming story today, got a guy who's in the military defending, you know, American, you know, defending America, you know, and he's defending himself, you know, against a terrorist. And because, you know, he did that, you know, he got sentenced because they said, you know, it's just different now, you know, war crimes. And he just recently got paroled. And, you know, it's a sad day when we as American citizens, you know, don't have the right to bear arms, don't have the right to citizen's arrest, protect ourselves, protect what's rightfully ours, you know, protect my home, you know. And we've got our military men and women who are fighting for our freedoms every day, to put themselves in harm's way on the front lines. And we got people like Hillary Clinton who roll over and look the other way and do all the things necessary to protect her own self you know, and we still have unanswered questions with Benghazi. Fast and furious. So many things, you know, SEAL Team 17. I mean, you know, just when I look at all these things that are going on, it's a travesty. You know, our kids in school and the issues that we face with this new way of learning, you know, Common Core has got to go. We need somebody that's going to fight for us, fight for the constituent, not just for the party, but for all. You know, I mean, I'm not interested, you know, in someone that's going to fight for just a sector of the community. I think we, as in the Constitution, was written for all of us, you know, and it's time that we have somebody that's actually going to go into office and do what they say they're going to do. We need to elect those people. Get informed. Find out who's running for school board in your own community. Find out who's running for representative. Who is your representative? Do you even know? You know, I question, if we were to go out, take a poll and ask just a simple person on the street, you know, who is the governor of your state, how many people would actually know the answer to that? We're so disconnected as a nation now. More people are more concerned about who's number one on American Idol than they are about who is going to be elected is to represent you as your mayor in your local city. You know, when we had in Tuscaloosa County, we had this major, major tornado that came through. It was a national disaster. And it is still, we still have businesses that have not been able to get up and running, small businesses, because our city mayor is more worried about big government coming in and big, you know, operation and all this stuff. But, you know, we do have one thing that we can say that's going on in Alabama. Remington is coming to Huntsville. Yay. You know, we finally have something that's going to provide jobs. You know, I guess the laws that they passed in New York, they decided they'd come down south because we're a bit more constitutional, Second Amendment friendly. You know, it's time. Our values are going down the tubes. They're going down the toilet. 98% of the electoral vote, because the people voted, elected a man called Hitler. And now we have a museum to remember the Holocaust. You know, when our values go down the toilet and our people of this great nation no longer share the same values that we did once upon a time when God was ruler of this great nation, then we have those kinds of things that happen where 98% of the electoral vote, because of the uninformed voter, votes because this is what grandmama did. I'm going to vote for Sammy Joe because my grandmama said that that's who I should vote for. Instead of me going out there and doing my homework to find out who Sammy Joe is, and does Sammy Joe really align with the same values that I have? And is this the kind of person that I want, you know, mayor of my city? Because he will represent the values that I have. You know, do we have people voting? Well, we know. In some states, like in the state of Alabama, just vote the party. Because in the state of Alabama, if you're a Democrat, you just vote for the donkey. And if you're a Republican, you vote for the elephant. Nobody takes a look at who the person is and what their voting record is. Or even if they've, you know, even if somebody's not a career politician, you know, we have, you know, a gentleman down here running in Congressional District 6, Frederick Douglass Republican, Tom Gnell, you know, a businessman, never held office before. But he said, you know, I've watched all the candidates that are running. He said, I look for a reason not to run. Find somebody out there that holds the same values that I do, that I believe is going to represent me in Congress. in Washington, my district, couldn't find it. And so what did he decide to do? He said, I'm going to be a part of the solution. And he decided to run himself. You know, be a part of the solution. Be proactive. Get involved. Find out who those people are that are running in, for offices in your district, your local, your state, your federal. You know, don't just vote just because, you know, your sister said that this is the person to vote for or this is the way that your family's always voted. You know, be an informed voter. That's what I say. I would tell my son, if he's going to go out and get married, don't just marry Cindy because somebody told you to. Find out if that's the person you really, really like and you really love and that you're really compatible. You know, values. Find them. You know, and find someone else that shares those same values that you do. You know, I respect for life. You know, I believe in pro-life. I stand on that solidly. But I'm going to vote for a candidate who does not believe in that. You know, that's just ridiculous. You know, I say that I care about my son. I care about his future. I care about his education. But the person that I'm going to vote for on the ballot for school board, do I really know enough about them to know that they're going to represent and be that person that's going to have my son's best interest at heart when he goes through school? You know, it's appalling to me. We have so many people that just don't care anymore. And, you know, with that, I'm going to pass it back over to Dan.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, Jennifer. It drives me crazy when I see these people and they vote for a party, not for what is right. And you ask this person, who did you vote for, you know, for school board? And they'll say, I don't know, I mean, but they were a Democrat or they were a Republican, and so I voted for them. It's like, this is the stupidest answer in the world. You know, what does this person stand for? What is their belief? You know, I'm registered as a Republican because most of what my beliefs are, you know, on that side. But you know something? If I saw a good Democrat who stood for what I believe in, I wouldn't tell, it wouldn't be a heartbeat. I'd vote for them. And I don't care what party I'm voting for. What I care about is the person. And it's the person, you know, it's the, as Scott was saying, it's the honor and the integrity you vote for. You vote for a person who's going to stand behind their convictions. And you know something, if it's against your party's beliefs, you know something? If the person is standing up for what they believe, that's what counts. That's the whole thing. And, you know, if you look in Washington and ask for, you know, try to find people who will stand up for what they believe in, you'd have an awful difficult time. Because these people, all they're doing is they're voting, and what they say is what the people want to hear and what's going to get them reelected. And, you know, you get to the point now with this president, through intimidation, is getting the whole damn Congress and Senate aren't doing a darn thing to stop this man. You know, if you look at Extortion 17, you know, that helicopter was shot down with two Apaches on either side with the sights on those terrorists that did the shooting. But they weren't allowed to shoot. You know, it was, and that order came from Washington. When the embassy in Benghazi got attacked, the president was awakened and told. And what did he do? He told him to leave him alone, and he went back to sleep. And the next morning he got up, and he went on a campaign-raising trip on Air Force One. When we had a rapid response team within an hour of the embassy, who could have been there, who would have stopped that attack? We had another SEAL team in a safe house who had just finished a mission and was waiting for evacuation. And they offered to go in, and they were told not to, to stand down also. But they were so close to the embassy, they could no longer handle listening to the bombs and the machine gun fire. So they went in and they saved 30 members of the embassy. Sadly, they didn't. They were a little too late for the ambassador and their two fellow SEALs. You know where those people ended up? Those soldiers, they're all in Leavenworth for breaking our orders. You know, that's what this country has come to. I mean, the rules of engagement are 100% on the side of the enemy. And all the good generals and admirals were fired and replaced with yes men who Obama knew would follow his orders. And Hillary did the exact same thing. Benghazi knew they were being attacked a month before. They contacted Hillary and said, we need more protection. They begged for 3 weeks. And what happened, I mean, is nothing short of treason. And the same thing with Extortion 17. That helicopter was shot down while we had two helicopters with the enemy in their targets, right in their eyes, in their crosshairs, and they were told not to attack. Now, what kind of president would do that? You know, the same thing with Fast and Furious. The president could not know that those weapons were being sent over to the drug lords. But their plan backfired because the drug lords used our machine guns to shoot and kill each other rather than go after our border patrol. But the whole idea was to create a reason so they could take our weapons away from us. You know, it's one tragedy after another. Had Obama not been a half-black person, he would have been impeached years ago. He has done so many things. With Common Core, he did not even bring it in front of Congress. He just put it out there and implemented it. which is direct violation of our Constitution. And this is a man we're calling president, and this is a man who is, you know, going to, mark my word, he is going to call martial law before the next election so he can prevent people from voting, so he can create a dictatorship. And if that does happen, I pray that we rise up against them, because I think the majority of the people are fed up with this crap. And we, the people, are going to win this. There was a kid who wrote, he's in the Army, and he's saying that they're fighting amongst each other, because half of them are liberals for Obama, and the other half are Republicans. But the big thing that we got is after what Obama did to the Navy SEALs was the worst thing he could have done, because the SEALs and all the special forces have guaranteed that they will be with us. But we're going to end up in a civil war or a revolutionary war, whatever you want to call it, before the next presidential election. And I pray it doesn't happen, but it's going to. And that's why I went out and got my Colt 45 and gun made in Connecticut, where you can't even buy a gun these days. Right now I'm having it switched over to left-handed, so it'll be easier for me to use. And I'm stocking up on ammunition, and I'm recommending that everybody else do the same thing. Be prepared and go out and collect the militias. And I promise that you do not take any action until the government does, because then they don't have any excuse nor any reason to go against the people. We'll force the federal government into it, you know. I am furious, though, with what is going on. And, you know, I think about the childhood I had and the nation and the pride we had. It's all gone. You know, there's a select few of us. Well, actually, there's a lot of us, but not many who are willing to stand up and say enough is enough. And we've reached that point. It's a time now that we do what we have to do. I mean, this next election is so important. We have to get the Republicans to win. We have to replace the damn rhinos with true patriots. And we have to get rid of that, the elite, and replace them with patriots. Because if we can do that, we can prevent a war that I don't want to see happen. So I'm praying to God that we are successful and we get the right people in office so we can, you know, challenge this president and bring him up on charges so we can impeach him and his group so so we can stop this before it has to go that far. But it's, as I said, it's always better safe than sorry. And I'm recommending to every town to create a little militia and make sure that you're well-trained. Because if it does happen, you know, we need trained people. And we, every town has soldiers in it. And have the soldiers teach the people who don't know. And be prepared. Do not take action, but be prepared. And go out there and find out who you're voting for. Don't just vote for a Republican or a Democrat. Vote for who is right. And you know something? If you just do that simple thing, go out to your town hall meetings, your school board meetings, and just, you don't have to do it many times either. Do it a few times. Get to know these people, man, and say, wow, Joe Schmo is really a person that really believes the same stuff that I do. And then you start supporting that individual. It doesn't take much effort to do that. And that is how we can avoid another civil war. Just by simply going down to the school board, going down to the town hall meetings, and meet the candidates. Talk to them. Take 5 minutes to talk to them. Do they have the same beliefs as you? Then stand behind them. We'll have higher quality elected people, and we can start making the change. And please don't let it go to the point where we have to fight for it. You know, we've already done that once, twice, and let's try to avoid a third time. But we need people who believe in God, believe in our Constitution, and are willing to give everything for God and their Constitution. Money's worth nothing. It's, you know, owning a big house is not worth anything. Unless you can stand by and say, you know something, I was part of the salvation of this great nation. This nation was created by God to be the leader, to be the ones who, the guiding light for the rest of the world. And we have to protect that. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Scott.
Amen. And well, Dan, I believe that the left would like to go down the road you're going. You just laid out. I have to disagree with you. I don't think it'll ever get there, and I'll tell you why. There's always been two important things that you have to have for something like that to happen. Number one, the people have to be hungry. We're not there yet. Even in the world's worst economy, we're still getting fat. But we've got something special that no other countries ever really had before. We've got the state. And there, I think it would be a very, very difficult task for the President of the United States to declare martial law because of the power of the state. I think that would be the last straw before it just got, I believe our sheriffs would handle it. You know, we've got thousands of sheriffs out there who are ready to stand up and take that fight. And I don't think they'll have to take that fight with ammunition. I think they'll take that fight with human bodies, walking up to Washington, D.C., walking into that Capitol and arresting that man if he did something like that. I know, I agree with you 100%. That is where the left would like to go. We know that. That's been the pattern throughout history. That was the direction that Adolf Hitler went. It's been the direction that Mussolini went. It's been the direction that all great tyrants in the world ever went. But I'm a firm believer in the power of the state. Come and take it. That's our slogan here in Texas, come and take it. And if you remember your history right, they never got that cannon. Nobody ever took it. And I really just don't believe that this time around is going to end up at that point. I think we're going to have a bounce back first. Now, I believe in another generation, it's very possible that we well could end up in that kind of a situation. But I really believe that the states at that point would stand up. The National Guards would have, at that point, stand up. I believe our military men and women would stand up. Barack Obama's tried real hard to get rid of the people in the military that don't agree with him. It's one thing to believe that you're a Democrat, believe that you agree with a president. It's another thing when he turns around and does stuff that is totally opposite to what you believe in. And so I really believe, Dan, I don't believe we're going to get there. I don't believe they'll play that card. I believe they know that without playing that card, without severe hunger nationwide, you can't take over a coup like that. But I agree on the other side with your sentiment. That's where they would like to go. We know that's where they'd like to go. They've said it. They've got it written in their books. Read Saul Alinsky. Read some of their writing. Of where these guys want to go. Read some of the writings of the people that put together Common Core. They'll tell you where they want to go. I just don't believe that this time, I think that would be such a large overstep. I believe we would be in real trouble. Now, here's what I worry about. I don't worry about that. I'd rather actually see them take a giant overstep and get knocked back down on their butts. I don't believe they're going to do that. The left's pattern of action is baby steps. And they're going to continue to baby step their way into right what we want. And that's our problem, because that's what they've been doing. That's what they've been doing for decades in our schools. That's what they did they've been doing with our economic system. That's what they've been doing with our capital system. A little law here, a little law there, until we've got to a point, buying a house in California, a third of that house price that you pay for is just stupid legal legislation on things that are stupid that you've got to have in there. Look at the light bulb. I'm not quite sure how they got away with the one on the light bulb. But I believe the left likes to take baby steps. But that's why we got to stand up and we've got to talk about what we believe in. And Jennifer, you hit it right on the head. Basic values. When we start teaching why we believe, the basic principles, instead of what we believe, the issues, we will win back hearts and minds and votes. Now, I moved here from California, but I still believe that most of California, let alone Colorado, a state that they just turned blue, or Texas, the one they're trying to turn blue, does not agree with the left on principles. They just don't know what those principles are. Those principles have been kept hidden from them, and so have ours, by all kinds of things, including calling us a racist. They don't know it because the MSM, Hollywood, the left, they've brainwashed, thank you, Herman Cain, the general public into believing a false narrative of what a Republican is. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican. I'm a Reagan Republican. Here's why. And these are these basic principles to the listener. These are the basic principles of why I am a Republican. I am a conservative. I am a conservative. I can't get my mouse over where I want it to be. I just moved my monitor. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican because I believe in some basic principles. Now, I'm a conservative for three reasons. For sovereignty issues, both the home, sovereignty of the home, sovereignty of the parent, sovereignty of a marriage, sovereignty of the individual to be free and to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. believe in sovereignty. I believe that it's better when man left to his own devices will handle things better than if a government tries to tell him and micromanage what he's supposed to do. I'm a conservative for economic principles. I am a firm believer that if you let the free market system just work, it will work. If you try and micromanage and legislate and try and twist and push and turn and create all kinds of wild taxes, we talked about it last Saturday, Dan. You know, just the fact right. that a business owner doesn't know what the taxes are going to be causes economic messes. It needs to be something that they just know 10 years out, 20 years out, 30 years out, this is what we're paying, this is what we can look forward to. There are economic reasons why I am a conservative. I do not believe that the left's way of handling economics works. I am also a conservative on social issues and moral values. Those are the three pegs of a Republican and why we're conservative. Now, not all Republicans fall into that category. There are a lot of Republicans that don't care about social issues. That's fine. We live in a free country where you believe I give you the freedom to think what you want. However, I also know that so goes the family unit, so goes society. History bears that out. You cannot argue with that. Now, the left would like to argue it, and this is at the point, if I was debating a liberal right now, they'd be throwing ad hominem attacks because they can't argue that point. And I believe there are moral issues that when we stop standing on them, we start to go decline as a society. Okay? I believe that. Underneath those three things, though, here's what I believe. I admire our founding fathers. And I respect the Constitution. Why? Because the Constitution was written to limit the power of the federal government to make sure that most powers belong to the states. Because when you have a micromanaged, high-level government trying to handle things in New York City and in Montana, it doesn't work. If you do things the way you do them in Montana, it's not going to work for New York City. If you do things in New York City for Montana, it's not going to work there either. So it's better left to the states in order to handle most things. The federal government's got a proper place. The taxes have got a proper place. There are certain things that the federal government, in unity with all 50 states, can handle very, very well. And then there are a huge bulk of things that they cannot. I admire those founding fathers because they believed that they had the foreknowledge to see ahead and realize that as they put those 13 original colonies together in a country, that each state needed to still remain independent to make its own decisions for the most part. That's why I'm a conservative. That's why I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican. Frederick Douglass believed the exact same thing. Does that mean that everything's been done perfect over the years? No. We've had some situations where on behalf of the people and actions of different people in this country have been abominable. There were times when we didn't treat the Indians right. There were times when we didn't treat the blacks right. There's been times when we didn't treat the homosexual community right. That has nothing to do with my position on gay marriage. I'm a conservative because I respect life and I consider it precious. You know, remember, Dan, Sid Miller brought that up. The news reporter, he told the story. The news reporter asked him, well, Sid, what does being conservative on the abortion issue have to do with the Agricultural Commission? And Sid basically told him, because there's a big difference between a man and an animal.
That was Sid, yeah.
I respect life, and I consider it precious. And I'm all for saving the whales. If we need to save the whales, I'm all for that. If they need to be saved, I love the whales. I love the dolphins, man. I've been to Orlando. I've been over there to SeaWorld. Dan, you ever been to SeaWorld over there and pet the dolphins in that big old dolphin pool?
Oh, yeah.
I love animals. I've got a cat, and if anybody doesn't know how much I love my cat, just read my Facebook page. He's the most awesome cat in the whole wide world. We took him across the United States halfway from California to Texas. We got him into the motel room. Most cats would go running around and sniffing around and scared around. What did he do? He jumped up on the bed and watched TV with us. He's an awesome cat. I love animals. I love life. I consider it precious. I consider life to mean life. A plant is alive. A seed is alive. When it starts growing green stuff out of the top of it, that's growing. It's alive. And that womb, inside that womb, that is a life. And it is a life that if you leave it alone, might live 80, 90, 100, 110, 115 years. That's a life. I believe, I respect life, and I consider it precious. So did Frederick Douglass. You see, Frederick Douglass respected his life, and he considered it precious. And you know what he did? See, the liberal would have told him, oh, go take some welfare and complain all your life about your circumstances and blame the white man. That's not what Frederick Douglass did. Frederick Douglass looked at his master when his master says, no, no, honey, you can't teach that slave to read. You'll ruin that slave. And Frederick Douglass, man, my favorite part about Frederick Douglass, looked at that master, and you can see the gears turning. You can see those gears turning. And he goes, so, my way out is to learn to read. You got it, buddy. And he overcome his obstacle. He snuck around trying everything he could to read. He tricked his friends into helping him learn how to read. He continued. And when he died, not only could he read, not only could he write, he left us a crap full of writings. He wrote to the president, a couple of presidents, three presidents. Jennifer will have to remind me on that one. He had the ear of presidents. He was in the top 1%. He considered his life precious, and he jumped over hurdles. I believe that limited government is necessary to maintain freedom and liberty. I believe that. I believe that you have to keep government limited if you want to keep your liberty. I believe when you make government too big, you lose your liberty. Now, that doesn't seem too difficult, does it? That's not too hard. That's just a fact. Again, we can go back in history, and history will bear that out 100, not 99, not 99.9% of the time. 100% of the time, history will bear that out. But if you don't have a limited government, you lose your freedom and liberty. I believe that unlimited government always ends in dependency and bondage. Why do I believe that? Because history bears that out. Not 99.9% of the time, 100% of the time, unlimited government, unfettered control by a government handled by a few people over many always ends up in dependency and bondage. And that is where our country is going right now. We're turning into a dependent society, and the left wants us to be there. They don't want a fishing net, a safety net. They want to turn the safety net into a fishing net, and while they're trying to turn the safety net into a fishing net, they're accusing us of wanting to remove the safety net. And we don't want to remove the safety net. We just want the safety net underneath the people that need it. Not under everybody. I believe that unlimited government always ends in dependency and bondage. I believe that fostering economic growth by encouraging personal responsibility and an entrepreneurial spirit is better than government-created dependency. Personal growth, man. Foster economic growth. Encourage personal responsibility. We talked about this again on Saturday, Dan. You know, when you buy a kid a car, when he turns 16, if you buy him a car and just hand it to him, he is not going to take care of it as well as if he has to help pay for that car. That's just a flat-out fact. All you got to do is go to a neighborhood where a bunch of people rent their houses instead of own their houses, and you'll see the difference between the way people take care of their property. When they have a stake in something, when they own something, when they've had to work for it, they take better care of it than if you just hand it to them. It is always that way. Always. Dependency fosters non productivity. But when people have a stake in something, they take better care of it. That's why I believe in widening the tax base. Now, I don't want to tax the poor person right onto the street. And I've said a few words about Michelle Bachmann. I believe she's a liar. When she stood up there and she said that 999 was an additional revenue stream, there's a lot of people that said that just didn't understand it. Michelle Bachmann's a tax lawyer. She knew it wasn't another revenue stream. She understands embedded taxes. But I did like this from the liar Michelle Bachmann. When she talked about extending the back tax base, she says even if they've got to pay $10, let them pay that $10 so they feel like they're a part of the system. So they feel that they're a part of the system. Folks, these are the basic principles that we stand on. These are the basic principles. We stand on that Constitution. We stand on our constitutional rights. We stand on state rights. We stand on local municipalities' rights. We stand on the rights of the average American to live their life unbothered by government, to do their own thing and go and do. And if we lose that, we lose our liberty, we lose our freedom. And I don't believe America's ready to do that. I don't believe it's ready to do that. But I'll tell you, folks, I'm going to share this with you just a little bit. I've been a little bit exasperated this last week. A little bit exasperated. Because there was something special we had during Herman Cain where everybody just got together and did the job. And now all of my friends are all out wanting to make money doing it. And that's great. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer in making money. And, man, if you can learn a skill and make money at it, I'm all for it. I'm a 100% capitalist when it comes to that. But I'm going to tell you, Ted Cruz said this, and thank you, Nancy Hayes, for providing this last week, because I hadn't seen that he had said this. And he was talking about Obamacare. But this applies to everything. This applies to Rodney Lee Conover. This applies to winning in 2016 and 2014. This applies to keeping our freedoms. This applies to fighting Common Core. This applies to fighting the IRS. This applies to winning Benghazi. The only way this will happen, Ted Cruz says, the only way this will happen is if the grassroots get motivated at unprecedented levels. We can't be going backwards, folks. We got to be going forward. We got to be going forward. We got to be more motivated to get this done, just get it done, than we were during the Herman Cain years or the Herman Cain months that year. Because if we don't wipe out this election, we are going to continue to allow the other side to take baby steps. Baby steps, baby steps, day by day, and as long as they're taking baby steps, the American people will never, ever see them. And in another generation, without ever fighting a shot, Dan, we'll be in bondage. We'll be in bondage. And that's why I don't believe that the left's going to do it that way. I think they've learned the proper way to do it is baby steps. Baby steps. But we the people have got to stand up. We got to rise up, and we got to start talking to our neighbors. We got to start telling people why we believe what we believe. We got to quit arguing on the issues. We got to quit arguing on rape and abortion. We got to quit arguing about the gun that shoots off a million bullets. We got to quit arguing about gay marriage. We got to go back to our principles. If we will go back and argue our principles, it'll solve those issues. It will solve those issues. Because when it all comes down to it, the gun that shoots a million bullets, you're never going to get that gun out of the hands of the criminal, no matter how many laws you make. No matter how many laws you make. And if you go back to the basic principles, people will understand why the word marriage means a man and a woman. They will understand that. But if you get over and you start arguing about people's sex lives, you're never going to win that battle. It's insane for a Republican to even bring it up, because I guarantee somebody else will. And when they bring it up, you turn around and you say, you know what, that, why are we even having that discussion? Let's talk about why I believe that. I'll tell you what I believe on gay marriage. I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, but that's clear over there. Let's talk about why I believe that. And when we bring that argument back to the middle ground of the principles and the basic concepts of why we believe what we believe and quit arguing on these issues, we're going to win the battle. That's why I like Rodney Lee Conover. Because Rodney Lee Conover does not get off into the fray of nonsense. Rodney Lee Conover every single time brings it back to the basics and makes it make sense. And the people listen and they understand. That was what made Ronald Reagan great. I've got my Hillsdale College calendar out here. It's what I keep track of the Contending for Truth radio schedule on. And February, I'm going to hate to turn it, because there's a statue of Ronald Reagan leaning up against, it looks like one of the pinnacles of maybe the White House in his suit. It's a bronze statue. And he's standing there looking very dapper. And he was special to me, man. That man inspired me to the passion that I've got for politics. He inspired me. And what made him great? Because we got quote after quote after quote after quote after quote after quote. Am I making my point? After quote after quote after quote about basic issues. Why he believed what he believed. That was what made Ronald Reagan great. One of these days, Dan, we need to just pull out a bunch of quotes and just spend the 2 hours just reading his quotes.
Well, you know how much I love Reagan. I mean, all you have to do is go to my page.
I know, huh? Right. Exactly.
I mean, exactly. Reagan is one of my heroes. I mean, I think he was one of the top three presidents in the history of this nation. Ronald Reagan, I mean, he ended the Cold War without firing a shot, just by calling their bluff, creating a military that was so strong that the Russians would have to be fools to go after us. He understood these things. He understood these basic principles. Ronald Reagan also loved this nation. He loved this country more than anybody. And that's what made him a great man. You know, he did everything for the nation. And, you know, to this day, he is still one of my biggest political heroes. I mean, I really, really, you know, I think the world of him. He made us a superpower without having to fire a shot. Everybody knew that when Reagan said something, he meant it. He wasn't wishy-washy on anything. He stood for what he believed in. And that's what we need. You know, those are the people we need. And, well, we'll pass it over to Jennifer now.
Thank you, Dave. You know, we need somebody that stands up and is willing to take a stand and not sit down when the going gets tough. You know, somebody that's willing to stick it in there and filibuster until a point is made. Somebody that's willing to get in there and fight for us. You know, there are people out there that want to say, you know, well, what are we going to do with all these illegal aliens that come into this country? Where are we going to take them? Well, you know, if we enforce our laws, they'll go on their own. you know, we make it too easy for them. You know, my thing is, you've got people that have fought for their right to be here that were natural-born citizens, and then those that have actually gone through the steps to do things the right way, the legal way, to become a naturalized citizen. But yet we have people in office now that want to have sympathy on the ones, the criminals, that are coming over here illegally. You know, what about, let's stand up for American citizens right now. Let's stand up for the United States of America. Let's stand up for the Constitution. You know, I got a really good friend of mine, Jan Morgan. If you ever want to go check her out, janmorganmedia.com. And she is one heck of a patriot. You know, I have respect her for the fight that she has in her. You know, and she stands up for the Second Amendment right of all of us and fights that good fight. We've got Wild Bill that's out there fighting the good fight, too. And then we even have people like Eddie Fulmer here with Bama Carey in Alabama, you know, who goes and gets in front of the elected officials and says, what are you doing to enforce our laws that are on the books, the Constitution? You know, we want people that are going to be elected officers who are going to stand up for us and represent the people, not themselves, not just big government in Washington. You know, if you're looking for Ed McMahon to come knock on your door and bring that big check to you, it's not going to happen. Nothing here in life is free. It's earned. You know, the respect that I have is because I have earned that respect from others. You know, but we got people that are in office now. I mean, there's people that just, you know, decide they're going to jump free and come or that I'll be have a better chance of getting elected. People want to jump to the Democratic Party because they think in Alabama 7, if they run as a Democrat, they're going to have a better chance of getting elected. I would hate to think that the American citizens have gotten so naive that we're going to fall for that trap. I mean, all we got to do is look at history. I keep going back to Hitler, but, it's a perfect example. 98% of the electoral vote voted for a man who turned out to be the worst nightmare ever to exist. You know? And I agree with Scott. You know, you may not agree with me on everything, but, you know, values is something I want my child, you know, to have the freedom of choice. If he wants to go to college, if he doesn't want to go to college, you know, but being able to get flourish in this United States. What is it that our founding fathers fought so hard for when they came over here? And they every word that was written for the Constitution, the preamble, you know, all of those important documents, the Bill of Rights, with every time that they got together to write again, what did they do first before they even began to write? They prayed. We're a nation that seems to forget where we come from because there's so much, what's happening on the Internet, the things that are happening with media to divert us from our primary purpose, the things that brought us to this great nation where we are. With that, I'll pass it back to Scott.
Well, you shouldn't pass it back to me. I ran it long enough as it was. But so true, Dan, so true to Jennifer. And, you know, I always have to just take it there, and I'm going to take it there. 1787, folks. If you've not read Jim Collier's book, The Summer of 1787, you need to read it. And find out the intricate details, easy reading, very easy reading, actually. A pretty thick book, actually, probably one of the thickest books I've ever read. I tend to stray away from thick books. I like a book that I can finish a little bit quicker than that, except for my Bible. But, man, those guys in that hot, closed-in room, they had great debate. They had big debate. They had some very, very serious disagreements. And I picture Washington, General Washington, standing in the back of the room most of the time, just listening. Until the time came at the end when he came up and said the words that he said. And those guys may have disagreed on a lot of things, on how people should be represented, on slavery, on how the big states and the little states should be represented in the United States Congress. You know, they had some many, many different disagreements. But one thing they agreed upon, and that was freedom. They all agreed upon freedom. And so they wrote that beautiful document, We the People, the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union. Or is that the Declaration? I'll pull a Rick Perry, huh? But you get my point. You get my point. Man, this is a fight, sorry, folks. We've got to fight for what we believe in. And how do we fight? Man, we got to get out and talk to our neighbors. That's what I like about Frederick Douglass methodology by K. Carl Smith. That is what I like the most about it, is you have to get out and talk to people in order for it to work. I love Facebook, and I love Twitter, and I love Blog Talk Radio, but for goodness sakes, for the most part, we're talking to the choir here. We got to get out and talk to the people that don't know what we're talking about. And that's what we got to have candidates willing to do. That's another reason why I like Rodney Lee Conover. He understands that. He likes to talk to Democrats, too. He wants to explain to them. He wants them to understand why they're wrong. Why they're wrong on their basic principles. You know, it's a fight we have to fight. Go to your internet and look for somebody to support. Look for a candidate to support. I'm going to tell you, I've been working for weeks now trying to get a good-sized team together for Rodney Lee Conover, and I'm struggling. I'm struggling to get people that are motivated enough and look at this man and say, oh, there's something special there, and he's what we need. I'm struggling to get people motivated. Man, if that's the case, we have lost it. We have really, really lost it, if that's the case. Because Ted Cruz is right. Ted Cruz is absolutely right. The only way this is going to happen is if the grassroots get motivated at unprecedented levels. That means bigger than it was in 2012. Bigger than it was in 2010. That means we got to go out and get more people to fight. We got to go across the street to the guy who lives across the street and say, listen, do you realize where we're headed? Do you realize what Agenda 21 is doing in this country? Do you realize what Common Core is trying to do to our school system? Do you realize what Obamacare actually did to your health care system? Do you realize what the IRS is doing to freedom all across the country, freedom of speech? Do you realize that the NSA is listening to everything you do already? How did we get there? You know, when we type on the internet, we might as well just know if the government wants to look at it, they don't need a warrant, folks. But local municipalities are even using it. The people have got to understand. The news media is not going to tell them. You know, we complained as liberal, as conservatives for so long about the liberal news media, liberal news media, liberal news media. We got to go around liberal news media. I'm going to bring up the movie Newsies again. Go watch the movie Newsies. You can get the disc. You can get it on Netflix. Go down and order it on eBay. Get that movie and watch it because it's a powerful movie. William Randolph Hearst and Pulitzer, the two newspaper organizations in New York City, didn't like each other, competitors, but boy, when it came to making money, they could get on the same team. And they got on the same team, and they decided they were going to raise the amount of money that the Newsies paid for the papers. And the Newsies every day went and bought their papers for a certain amount of money, then they turned around and sold them for a certain amount of money, and however many they sold, maybe they broke even, maybe they made a little bit of money, but now they're going to make even less. And the Newsies decided, well, the dock workers are going on strike, the garbage workers are going on strike, all these other people are going on strike, we're going to go on strike, then we'll get attention. but the media wouldn't give them attention. William Randolph Hearst and Pulitzer would not even come close to giving them attention. In fact, when a smaller newspaper was trying to give them attention, boy, they put the squash on that. So what did those newspaper boys do? They went around the news media. They went down into William Randolph Hearst's basement of his paper, and they got out the old printing press, and they printed up their own newspapers, and they scattered them across the country, across the city. They got the word out, and those newspaper boys beat those two moguls. Boys, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, beat William Randolph Hearst and Pulitzer at the turn of the century. They went around the media. And that's what we've got to do. That's what Kate Carl's saying we got to do. You got to go and sit down at your barbershop and strike up a conversation and talk about what you believe. Go around the media. Don't let the barbers sit there at home every night watching CNN, MSNBC, his local newscast, and get his information there. You got to be the one to give the information. Our candidates has got to be the ones giving the information. The candidate's got to be out there whether he wins or whether he loses. He needs to be changing minds and hearts. If you're not changing minds and hearts, I'm not giving you my support. And I've had people that I really, really liked that I knew were not in the ambition to go out and change minds and hearts. I got a handful of candidates who I'm friends with on Facebook that I don't give support to. I love them, but I know that their ambition is not to go out and play, gain minds and hearts. They're following the game, the political game that's always been played, and let's go find the money here, and let's turn our issues there to catch the money. Bullcrap. That is not how we save this nation. That may be in a 50-50 election how you get elected. But that is not how we save this nation. And if you're not on the track to saving this nation, I have no time for you. So, folks, what you got to do is you got to get out and you got to look at your candidate. Don't just support the guy because he's got an R after his name and he's in your district, because he's in your state. You look and you decide. See, I didn't have any confidence that Mitt Romney was going to do anything different in the White House than any of the rest of them did. I had firm conviction that Herman Cain would. Herman Cain was going to go in there and do what he said he was going to do. I believed that. Whether I was right or wrong, I don't know, but I believed that. But there's nobody that could have said that about Mitt Romney. And I supported Mitt Romney after the primaries were over. He was a Republican and definitely better than Barack Obama by a long shot. But he wasn't going to help save this nation. He might have slowed down the process a little bit. Folks, we got to get up and we got to get moving. This is a call to action, folks. Because the only way this is going to happen is if the grassroots gets motivated at unprecedented levels. And if you're not motivated, you better find a reason to get motivated. I'll tell you what the reason is. In 40 years, we could very easily be living in total bondage, where the government tells us everything we can do, where the government knows everywhere you go with your car. You don't think that's coming? Boy, they're trying real hard to put little black boxes in your car that are connected to the Internet, and they'll know exactly where you're at. You know, we worried for decades. Decades we worried about the chip. Remember, they were going to embed a chip. Going to embed a chip. They're not going to embed a chip. Why do they need to embed a chip? I carry five of them around every day, no matter where I go, because I'm holding on to my iPhone. And it goes everywhere I go. We already got the chip, folks. The chip's been embedded. If you don't think the chip hasn't already been embedded, it's been embedded, and not in your skin. Because the government has taken that technology and they're using it in ways they shouldn't be using it. And it's really scary, folks. It is time to stand up and fight. It is time to stand up and fight. It's time to stand up and fight for the right candidates. It's to quit standing up, time to stand up and quit fighting for the wrong candidates. I'm going to tell you, if you're supporting Paul Crook, who has voted on the bills that all went to the president, 100% with the president, and he's got an R after his name, like Romney Conover's competition, well, you best not be supporting him. It's time to replace somebody like that. It's time, folks. It is time we put people of character back in our Washington, D.C. It's time we put people of character back in Austin, Texas. It's time we put people of character back in Montgomery, Alabama, Tallahassee, Florida, Denver, Colorado, Boise, Idaho, Bismarck, North Dakota, Pierre, South Dakota, Olympia, Washington, Augusta, Maine. It's time to fill our state houses with people of character again. And don't stop there. The superintendent, I'm going to give a huge shout out to somebody that I finally got to meet that I got a huge amount of respect for. And he is a huge guy. Let me tell you, I have to look up to him. Lawrence Jones, man, with Project Veritas. Got to meet him the other few weeks back when I went over that Connie Burton function. I didn't realize he was so tall. But he's not just tall in stature. He's tall. He's fighting the Garland School District. The Garland School District all of a sudden has had a big change, and the guy that's taken over wants to spend all kinds of money in all kinds of places, and he wants to take the freedom of the parent away. And he's fighting, man. He's fighting hard. They got signs out in Garland telling recall this guy. They're giving James, Lawrence Jones is giving them a fight and a half, and he is leading the fight. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to hopefully maybe get him on a show here soon to talk about what he's been doing. I was planning on trying to do it for tonight, but my week got away from me. Folks, it's time. It's time we got motivated. And, man, if you're out there making money doing what you're doing, that's great. But don't make that front and premier. Don't make it front and premier. We got 22 minutes left. I want to try and end at the top of the hour. I've got a couple of things I have to do at the top of the hour. So I'm going to pass it back to Dan for closing remarks. I'll pass it back to Jennifer for closing remarks. And then when we come back, we'll talk about our schedule like we'd always do here on Contending for Truth Radio, what is coming up and what we have going on. So Dan Wilson, it's time we stood up and fight, my friend. We got to get people, especially in the State House of Florida, there in Tallahassee, Florida. You got some craziness going on down there. We need to fix it.
Oh, definitely. Every time I go out, I'm talking and spreading the word because that's the only way we're going to win. I was kind of chuckling as you were talking. I was like, gee, it sounds like you've read my post because, everything I was saying in my post are the same. It's, we got to stand up. And we got to forget about the media and start taking it to the streets. They did it 250 years ago, and they were successful. We got to take that attitude of don't talk politics. Heck, it's time to talk politics. It's long overdue. And if you don't agree, with, I was talking to a Democrat the other day, and they were giving me, all the Republicans are prejudiced and everything, and I just turned around and I said, do you know who was the main supporting group when the Republican Party first started? It was the abolitionists. And one of the leaders was a person named Frederick Douglass. And he was so well respected, he was an advisor to five administrations. And I explained to them, you know, that prejudice is the last thing our party is about. And it's not about rich or poor or anything like that, because we accept everybody. And I said, you know, what we believe in is Constitution. Because there were two broad documents in the history of this world that were written with divine presence, the Bible and the Constitution. And God wants us to be the leaders, the forebearers, the people, the guiding light for the rest of the world. And we have allowed it to be taken away from us. And it's time for us to stand up and bring it back. And whether you're, you know, a Republican or Democrat, remember God, country, our Constitution. And after that, now, Scott, earlier you said that that many of our problems will be solved if we just go back to our founding principles and we place God where he belongs. And I've been arguing that for years, because once you put God back to the center of our country, all of a sudden gay marriage, abortion, all that stuff will follow and solve itself. We don't have to argue it now. We have to argue bringing this country back to its original, what our forefathers saw and envisioned. And I recommend to people to read the Constitution, read the Federalist Papers, learn about what they were going through and what they were thinking of. Read books about the early days of our history and what our forefathers were willing to sacrifice. Read about the Declaration of Independence. Don't listen to your teachers. Read it for yourself. It's right there, I mean, right on your computer. Very, very easy to get to. And go through what our forefathers saw and what they envisioned. You know, and forget about this, you know. Don't do what John F. Kennedy told the Democrats to do, you know, 50 years ago. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And I just sent out a video of one of his speeches. And it was exactly what is happening now. And this is a Democrat speaking. And I think there should be a movement within the Democratic Party to go back to JFK. Because he was another man who loved his nation. And I may not have agreed with everything he stood for, but I admired the man because, you know, he stood behind his convictions. Ronald Reagan, a man who was a man above men, he knew how to get people to follow him, and he knew how to spread the word. so that people listened. And that's what we have to do. We have to turn around and don't go into it into aggressive fighting mode. Go into it talking, you know, like we're talking right now. But pass the word, you know. If you do it enough, you know, people will start listening to you. You know, they turn around and, you know, when they hear what I have to say, then all of a sudden, a little by little, it'll start taking hold. You know, Scott, you were saying baby steps, and this is what we have to do. We have to kind of take it a little bit at a time. But one thing we have to do right now, we have to put a blocking maneuver to prevent, because unfortunately the other side had a big head start on us. And we have to find the right people to vote for so we can get a blocking maneuver in so we are not going to be speaking the next two elections. And it's why everybody needs to go out and learn about the candidates. Because the next two elections are going to decide whether or not we're going to have a free state or not. And I want my great-grandchildren to grow up with the same liberties that I had. And this is why I'm doing it. Everybody knows I'm sick and I'm not going to be around long enough to really have it affect me one way or the other. But my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, and generations to come, I want them to have the same privileges and honors that I had. And this is what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about future generations. Because if we do this right and we bring this country back to where it belongs, we can solve the problems of the world even. Just by showing how to do, you know, what to do and how to do it. And letting them know that we are going to stand behind our convictions. And if you attack us, we'll come after you like a rabid dog. We will not accept it nor tolerate. And we are not going to draw lines on maps, and we aren't going to have rules of engagement that will favor you. We're going to come out, and we're going to win. Do the same thing we did in World War II. Because we're Americans, and if you want to fight us, you got to expect the wrath of God to come down upon you, because that's what's going to happen. And any nation standing beside who wants to support the enemy, you have to expect the same thing that's going to happen. We aren't going to tolerate it anymore. We're going to be what this nation is all about. Our strength, our power, and our belief for freedom for all. Not just ourselves, not just us. We want this for the entire world. And anybody who wants to go against us is going to have to pay that rent. And with that, I'll pass it over to Jennifer.
You know, 2014 election cycle is going to be very key. I know a lot of people are focused on who's going to be our next president for 2016, but we've got to get the right senator and congressman elected to office. We need somebody who's going to stand strong and stand true with the values that, you know, that this nation, great nation, was founded upon. You know, and it's going to take us all across the United States. You want to support those in your own state? We want to make sure that we get the right senators and congressmen, women, you know, elected to their rightful places, you know, in all the various offices, local level, school board, all the way up. You know, but I'm telling you, enough of this, you know, saying one thing and doing another. We've got a guy in California, District 8, Paul Cook, who got elected, and he's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you take a look at his first term in office, first elected term in office, and look at how he voted. And you look at the platform that he stood upon, what he said that he believed in, and what he's actually done, and what he stood for. You know, it's time that we get those kind of elected officials out of office and put true, solid Americans that are going to stand up for the Constitution, for our amendment rights, all the amendments, not just a portion of them, but all of them, for all the people. You know, Rodney Conover is that man. We have a gentleman running in Congressional District 6 here in Alabama, Tom Vignell. You know, he's not a career politician. He's a guy who lives in District 6 who believes that what's been going on is a travesty. The guy that is retiring, Congressman Backus, and everybody's fighting for the seat. Everybody wants, you know, so it's just, you know, it's like he's going to get the prize. But at the end of the day, it's he's going to represent the constituents the best. That's the main issue for me. Who's going to represent my child and me, my city, my district? You know, what about the guy that's running for agriculture commissioner in Texas? The one that's, you know, running here in Alabama. Who'd they align themselves with? We know the big corporations like Monsanto's and what they're about. They have nothing about protecting our food supply. They're contaminating it. Every day, Monsanto's, big corporation. What are we doing to provide for our communities? We need somebody like Sid Miller, great state of Texas. They said, you know, when God created Texas, that was the training ground for everybody else, for the rest of us. You know, I believe that. We need some politicians, some people, candidates. We need to, even in our local committees and stuff, we need to ensure that the people that we're electing are going to stand for the people, by the people. You know? And when they, why isn't they say, you know, that you know, right now we've got so many people fighting for other religions, but yet it is mandatory that when you go in a court of law and you place your hand on a Bible, you're not placing it on the Quran, you're placing it on the Holy Bible. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. It doesn't say Allah. But yet, we don't have the right to have the Ten Commandments to be displayed in the court of law. I mean, this is a twisted nation, and it needs to get back right again. Our values have been stripped and torn. I look at what's on television, and our priorities are way off the mark. You know, those days of American pie and apple pie and baseball and, you know, all those playing in the streets and kickball and all that stuff nowadays to play in the streets, you're considered a hoodlum. You know, it's a nation where everybody thinks that government just owes them just because. That's not the case. You know, I learned from a man, Frederick Douglass, who didn't even have the right to own his own body up to the age of 20, and learned the value of learning, of being able to read. He was self-taught. He owned 3 newspaper companies, was an advisor to 5 U.S. presidents. He was a 47%er who, at the end of his life, was a 1%er. Why? Because he cared enough about himself to want to be free, to not have somebody else be in charge of him, his life, and his future, his well-being. He understood that he could go far and wide and go very many places in life. You know, you got a doctor. Dr. Ben Carson talks about how even in living in poverty with a mother who didn't know how to read, he could read books and go all over the world. But yet we have a school system that's trying to buy into an education plan, Common Core, that is corrupting our children. You know, what a better way for socialism, for communism, to take control of us in the United States is through, corrupting our food supply, you know, and dumbing us down education-wise. You know, it's the time is now. We as Americans must rise up, and it's going to take the grassroots leadership to make a difference. But yet, see, we have people out there that understand the value of grassroots. That's why they keep trying to shove us down. That's why they keep trying to assault the Tea Party, the Frederick Douglass Republicans, and all these other groups out there that are for liberty and freedom and Constitution. You know, when are we going to stand beside our fellow man and woman and not be afraid? You know, I question, why is it that we have a nation who wants to hoard the bullets, all the ammunition? They say, oh, you can own the gun, but we're going to take all the stuff that goes inside. There's just so much that I have questions about. We need answers. I'm an American citizen, and I want those answers. I want to know why. Were those military soldiers left to die in Benghazi? Why is it that we go send out, our military men and women are sent on missions that are suicide missions, and we as Americans are not giving them the authority and the right to defend themselves without throwing them in jail? They're not criminals. The illegal immigrants that are coming over here illegally, take control of our own laws, strengthen our own laws, and they will go. You know, I'm not responsible for them. I am responsible for me. I live here in the United States of America. Scott?
Amen. Amen. You know, I think we had a great show tonight, guys, for off the fly. You know, sometimes we have a guest scheduled, sometimes we don't, and generally when we don't, we just come on to her and we just do our thing. And I think we really rocked tonight. Conover for Congress, conoverforcongress.com. Go there, give them some support. If you can help, you go find Jennifer on Twitter, you go find me on Twitter. On Facebook. And you send us a message and you say you're willing to help. And we will direct you to where you can help. I'm going to tell you, we need Rodney Conover. I don't want to make this sound like it's a campaign commercial for him, but it is. Man, he's awesome. And he'll stand up for what he believes in. He'll stand up for the American people. And we need a bunch of those. We need a bunch of those, folks. This has been Contending for Truth Radio. This is Parental Sovereignty Radio. And, you know, it's a show that started out talking a lot about Common Core. However, we kind of go around and always come right back to it, but it all comes back to our rights as a parent. Our rights as a parent are those basic rights that are being eroded. Our rights in our churches to stand up and preach what we believe and teach what we believe, those rights are being eroded. Those are the end run. That's what's going to take the brunt of this. So, folks, it's Dan, thank you so much. It's been a great, great show. Remember, Saturday Symposium with Dan and I at 9 o'clock California time, 11 o'clock Texas time, and 12 o'clock Florida time. We'll be talking about history, and we might just have a guest this week. I'll see if we can get Lawrence Jones on to talk. I'm telling you, a great, great guy. But we've also got some other shows. Friday, of course, my flagship show on this network, I Love My Ladies Bible Class. We're wandering through the Old Testament. We just, like I said earlier, finished the story of David and Bathsheba. We're going to go through the end of David's life this next week and hopefully start with Solomon. It's 10:30 California time, 12:30 Texas time, of course, 1:30 Florida time. Join us. I've been teaching this class for 5 years now to the ladies in Springville, California. However, I moved. And so now they sit in Springville, California in the same spot they were eating the same cinnamon rolls that they've been eating that I'm missing out on and having the same great Betty Millwheat coffee. But I do it here in Texas. And since I'm homeschooling now, I've got my nieces sitting at the table with me, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So join us there for that. And then we're no longer doing the IRP6 show. They've got their own network. A Just Cause Coast to Coast has got a new network, A Just Cause at Blog Talk Radio, which is wonderful. They're able to do their own thing. They started here. They got their wings. They left the nest. We missed them already, but they're doing great things there. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you for listening to our rants, and please get out and help your candidates. Find a candidate that's good that you can, man, solid conservatives are great, but I don't want just a solid conservative. I've known some solid conservatives that once they got to Washington, D.C., weren't so solid anymore, and that's what we need to stop. So I want to thank you so very much for joining us tonight. We are going to put us on out with Keep On Keeping On from D-Rock Country, the official music of Contending for Truth Radio. Thank you and good night.
Just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air wondering what it's all about. When you think that things can't get much worse in a second, oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Stand in your way.
They're always saying
what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember.
power don't kill you, makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I beg you, won't spend a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.